The fourth annual Femme Frontera Filmmaker Showcase takes place on Saturday, September 21st at the Alamo Drafthouse. This year's program includes experimental, documentary, and narrative Latinx and U.S.-Mexico border shorts made by female-identifying filmmakers. Here to tell us all about it are filmmaker Angie Rezaturas and Jasmine Harvey of Femme Frontera. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
So 4 years. Did you know you would be able to do this for 4 years?
No. Like, I went into the first showcase thinking this is a one-time deal. We're going to go in. We're going to come out. It's just a bunch of friends who are showcasing their films. And then that's it. And it just kept going. And what kind of sparked that was that a friend of mine in the audience was like, you got to take this elsewhere. This is a great program. And we started a tour. And then from there, it was like, can you guys teach workshops? And can you do other things? And then here we are 4 years later. Like, it's just absolutely awesome.
But I gotta ask, I mean, did you create it because you sensed a void?
Yeah, I feel like that first showcase was definitely a response to sensing that void, right? To sensing a lack of representation for female filmmakers on the border. And so Angie just called up a bunch of her female filmmaker friends to do this showcase together. And I remember when it solidified and became Femme Frontera, it was at Angie's house over, I think it was in December. And it was kind of like a holiday gathering. And then she announced, like, what do you all think of making this bigger and creating something like Femme Frontera? And then it kind of went from there, you know.
But the void was bigger than because it was let's show some films by women filmmaker. And then clearly, you know, you said it yourself. There's workshops and the how-tos. And I mean, I see them out there and their response is incredible.
Yeah. We've been very fortunate for that. But I think it's because it has been a very organic response, because there is a need out there that where women's voices have a lot to say and we have very unique perspectives and we can offer a view into our own experiences, most especially here on the border, that you don't get to hear anywhere else. And so for us to be able to have this kind of platform where, you know, not only can we share voices from the border from women here, but from other borders around the world. And so there's empathy that's created as a result of sharing a film about displacement in Syria alongside someone who is seeking asylum from Juarez. So it's just such a unique, wonderful, and powerful way for us to share these important stories.
And what made you all decide to be filmmakers? I'm not going to say female filmmakers, but, you know, what put you all on the path to becoming a filmmaker?
I was always really interested in a lot of different forms of art. And when I was 17, I took my first photography workshop and realized that I love taking photos. And going into college, it was this kind of wonderful mesh of sculpture, painting, you know, every art form is represented in filmmaking in some way. Mm-hmm. And I think I just really loved that. And I really loved the collaborative aspect of filmmaking and how powerful the moving image is. And so that's kind of what set me on the path.
Well, I thought I was going to go into music because I used to play in rock bands in high school, and that's actually how I met my husband.
Nice.
And he was a recording engineer, and he was like, oh, you should come to the University of San Francisco, like, we've got a cool media program and you can probably do some audio stuff. And I was like, oh, that's great. And so I went and I took an audio class, thought it was pretty cool, got to work with Pro Tools, and then I took a video class, and that completely changed the game for me. Yeah, I was like, this is what I need to be doing. And it just kind of evolved from there. I met a really, really cool core group of filmmakers my age who are willing to just go out to Golden Gate Park and spend a whole day shooting and just taught me everything that they knew. And it was I absolutely loved it. And so I spent a lot of my time doing and working with documentary filmmakers out there.
Now, you've got 4 years under your belt, which I take it to mean that's 4 years of making all sorts of new friends. Can you tell us about some of the people or stories that have had an impact on you as you are on this journey?
I think it's just been really great meeting filmmakers from all over the world. I think when Femme Frontera started, originally we really wanted to keep it local. And it's still one of our core missions is to have like a lot of local representation. But there's been something really beautiful about getting to meet filmmakers like Razan, who made the film about Syria that Angie was just talking about. And it's about her experience as a refugee from Syria moving to the Netherlands and called Before I Forget. So meeting filmmakers like her has been really cool and really inspiring because her film is extremely vulnerable, you know, and seeing other methods of filmmaking and getting to connect with other artists across the world through Femme Frontera has been really amazing. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I mean, it's this new thing. You're showcasing and you're connecting at the same time. And then I think through it, people probably want to know, well, how do I do that? And then the snowball effect begins.
Yeah, and
I was just going to say, I mean, Femme Frontera is all about creating community mm-hmm. and not just on the local level, but on the global, you know, and it's been amazing, as Tasmin was saying, to connect with these individuals and learn about their stories and their filmmaking processes and just the ability to hang out with a bunch of women in a room who know what it's like being a woman filmmaker mm-hmm. and that there are challenges that come along with it and there are things that we've pushed through to make it happen. But being in that room, it just has such a good energy, and every showcase it's a new group of people, but we're still all connected to the other showcases as well and all of the other filmmakers there. So we're constantly building each other up.
So what is it like to be a woman filmmaker?
Well, a lot of the times you're the only woman in the room, and I feel like this is relatable to a lot of women in male-dominated industries. We had a film in our second showcase, I believe, about female drummers. And the experience was just so relatable.
Yeah, being the only woman.
Yeah, kind of used to being the only woman.
But you're running the show, right?
Yeah.
If you're the drummer.
Yeah, and I think part of the experience is having to prove yourself mm-hmm. kind of over and over again, even though you've already proved yourself.
Right, you're
like
I'm
there's
here.
Kind of this extra yeah. push that you have to do.
Don't you think that comes across in your product at the end of the day, though? Like,
I mean, you do, but, you know, and we were even just talking about this earlier, is that sometimes it's even unconscious bias, you know. Mm-hmm. You see a woman's name listed as being the director of said film, and I think some people kind of pass that by or don't take it quite seriously. It sounds silly, but we've seen it happen again and again. And so you can make as good of a product as you can, but at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of up to the people who are in charge, who most of the time happen to be men, as to whether or not that film is even going to get the exposure it needs. So it's nice actually to have social media these days and YouTube and other platforms.
You just cut through all that mm-hmm. BS.
Exactly, so that you can actually, you know, share what you have and let the work speak for itself. And mm-hmm. so it's constantly letting the work speak for itself, right? And so it's Femme Frontera, we only accept women filmmakers and we create that safe space that I think sometimes women need, most especially women of color.
Right.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is like, especially in the young women that we meet, like when we do workshops, it's this, I've seen it a lot of thinking that they still need to take extra classes before they can direct a movie, or thinking that they're just not ready to direct a movie
right.
when they are.
Right.
And I feel like that's something that Femme Frontera does, is to show them these are all movies by female filmmakers. You can do it too. You don't have to have a 4.0 GPA to make a movie.
Like, an imagination, like if some we're friends that'll go shoot with you all day.
And if we're talking about like they're in like the students who are like in film school, right?
Yeah.
In that academic side, that they feel like they have to get all these requirements before they can actually go out and direct their own movie. But yeah, you can just get your friends
and
you
do
can
it.
Get your camera and do it.
Right. Do you think that DIY spirit maybe helped you from music? Because being a woman in music is just as tough as being a woman in film.
Right. And for me, I mean, it was the same thing. When I was growing up, I was in rock bands that were just boys. And then my little core group that I was talking about earlier, they were all boys. And I'm very comfortable working in those environments, but I found that not all women are. And so it's important to have that DIY spirit is fierce and it's playful and it's all about It's not smart. Having it's smart. It's, yeah. it's about not having excuses and just doing it.
Resourceful too, because mm-hmm. you got to get crafty to get anything done.
Well, yeah. and that's why our workshops are all smart device workshops. Yeah. It's all about access.
Right. It's like you can totally make a film with your iPhone.
Yeah.
And so edit it. I have to ask, how did you two come together?
Well, so we actually came together because Angie was directing her movie Memory Box, and she was looking for a camera assistant. And I had just moved back from L.A. I had just moved back to New Mexico. And our other mutual friend, Ilana Lapid, connected us when she was looking for
Oh,
NAC.
She's been through here, too. She's at NMSU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's part of En Frontera as
oh,
well.
Oh, makes perfect sense. Yeah.
So she was part of that original group of us that did the first showcase. But I remember, yeah, meeting Angie in El Paso at Tippy T's. Mm-hmm. And with Andrew Calloway, who ended up being the cinematographer for that movie. But that's how we met.
Yeah, I was so yeah. intimidated by her because she like was very direct and I thought, oh man, I don't know if this girl's gonna like me because I'm very like all over the place.
And she was amazing. I mean, that experience of shooting Memory Box was really fun, and I know it was really hard for Angie in like different ways.
You got through it, obviously, yeah. and then some.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that it's Memory Box that sort of, you know, I wanted to showcase the movie, but it felt weird being like, friends come and watch a 15-minute movie. So, you know, having all these other filmmakers come and showcase their film alongside mine, I mean, that's how En Frontera started.
Well, let's talk about that, because making a 15-minute movie takes a really long time.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend in planning, resourcing, shooting, editing, the whole thing before we get to see it? Because I don't know that people realize.
Kind of depends on the project. But mm-hmm. for Memory Box, what was your...
It was 2 years.
That's yeah. incredible.
And it does, I mean, it really does depend on the project. I mean, I've worked on pieces that are longer that, you know, we've done in a weekend. And then I, in the Bay Area especially, I worked on a documentary that took 10 years to make. So having a deadline is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, typically it's the editing that's going to take you the longest. Because I think Memory Box was 4 days?
That we shot, yeah.
Yeah, shooting for 4 days. And then my movie that was in the first showcase was called Overland. And that one, it was my senior thesis project, so it was very structured.
And
the
deadlines
and the deadlines were there. But honestly, it was the En Frontera showcase that made me really finish it.
Yeah.
You know, because I had already graduated at that point, and there was a final cut. But then when Angie said, like, hey, in August, I'm going to do this thing, I actually got, you know, the sound design done, I got music done, I got the color done. You know, it was a push to actually finish it. So deadlines are great.
All right. So any words of inspiration for any aspiring women filmmakers out there before we wrap up?
There's no excuse for you not to do the story that you're burning to tell. It's so important that we hear your voice because it's unique and nobody else's. And Lord knows we need more voices from women and from women of color and from women from the border region more than anything else right now. So please do it. We're here to help.
Just go out and shoot whatever project you want and share it. And I think that's the most important thing, is to share your work. Work with people that you love. And every time you share a project, it'll just inspire you to keep on telling your story and to keep on making movies.
And there you have it. The 4th annual En Frontera Filmmaker Showcase takes place on Saturday, September 21st at the Alamo Draft House. If you need any inspiration at all, just go there. That's it. Aside from this beautiful conversation. Today, my guests have been Angie Reza Torres and Jasmine Harvey of En Frontera. Thank you for coming to
Thank
State
you.
Of the Arts.
Thank you.